This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Pat McCrory is replacing all five members of the North Carolina Board of Elections. It's rare for a governor to replace the whole board in one sweep, and it comes amid an investigation into political contributions into the McCrory campaign. John Frank joins us to talk about the complete turnover of the State Board of Elections. John Frank's a political reporter at the News and Observer. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
So tell us about this. The governor has the authority to replace the members of the Board of Elections. Is that right?
He does, and needed to make those appointments by May 1st, which is Wednesday, and the first day the new board will meet. The timing of it is still a bit of a question, though. It was announced at 6 p.m. on Friday and has all new board members, even the new Democrats. So what we're seeing here is a big question about whether the new board will continue what the old board said it would do, which was investigate the sweepstakes gambling money, and particularly the donors and who the money went to.
I want to hear more about the investigation in a minute, but how unusual is it for a governor to replace all five members of the board?
The governor has the authority to appoint all the new board members, and this is, of course, our first Republican governor in 20-some years. So the current board chairman has been there for 20 years, and a number of the Republican members have also been there for a while. So this major turnover of all the members is the first time in recent memory that we'll have some completely new blood on the elections board.
And is it something that we do by law that the governing party, the governor's party, has three members and the minority party then has two? Is that by law or just by custom, because that's what the governor would do?
That's how the appointments are set out. Now, of course, the governor could appoint who he wants, but the nominations come from the state parties themselves. So the Republicans and the Democrats will give the governor a list of five names, and the governor gets to pick from that list.
All right, let's talk about this investigation that was going on before the turnover took place.
Yes, at this point, it's more of an informal inquiry led by the state elections board staff members. They're looking into about $240,000 in campaign contributions made by the sweepstakes industry, much of which appears to be funneled through two major lobbying firms, McGuire Woods and Moran Van Allen. Of course, Moran Van Allen is where Governor McCrory worked before being sworn into office.
So, and what are the questions that are raised about these contributions?
There's a number, and this all stems from an investigation down in Florida, actually, into an illegal gambling ring down there. The owner of the company that provided the software to those sweepstakes cafes is this major donor here in North Carolina, and looked in this last year to have an even larger role, donating huge sums. And the questions that raises are multifold. We have the possibility of corporate money being funneled to candidates, and that, of course, is illegal here in North Carolina. The charging documents down in Florida indicate that the sweepstakes owner may have mixed his gambling profits with his personal account. We also have the possibility of bundling contributions. It's not illegal for a lobbyist to give a lawmaker a contribution from a PAC that the lobbyist represents, but it needs to come from a single source and not multiple sources. And it appears that some folks may have been collecting checks for Governor McCrory to try to, you know, curry favor. And the last is, if you look at these checks, you know, they all have different handwriting, and they come in these groups of, you know, clumps of dates near fundraisers, possibly. And that suggests that possibly, maybe, you know, there were some signed blank checks given, and the lobbyist or someone else may have had the ability to determine where the money goes, and that would be illegal under North Carolina law. So these are all the issues they're looking into.
Right, a lot of questions. This is what the Board of Elections looks into. How far was the old board into this investigation, and does it really matter if there's a new members who may or may not look into the same thing?
Yeah, the staff began looking into this about a week or two ago after a advocacy group called Democracy North Carolina filed a complaint. Now, the board plays a pretty important role in these investigations. It has the ability to launch a formal criminal investigation. It also has subpoena power. We're not at that point yet, but the board could also tell the staff to spend their time on something else and quash the investigation.
So do we know yet what might happen? Let's put it this way. Has the old board made a recommendation to the new board about whether to continue this investigation?
The old board was preparing to make a recommendation at the meeting this morning, but held back when Governor McCrory appointed a whole new board. They said it just wouldn't be appropriate for an outgoing board to tell a new board what to do. Now, the new board, as I said, meets first tomorrow morning and gets sworn in. So we'll see if they make any statements about what direction they're headed. Based on my conversations with the members to date, they are taking a hands-off approach right now. They say they don't know enough to know whether the state should be investigating and how formal that investigation should be. So they're leaving themselves some room to look at what happens next and what information the staff can turn up.
There are members of the former board, the soon-to-be former board, I guess, that have talked about this and the importance of moving forward. Isn't that true?
Yes. They feel like, you know, we won't know the true story of where this money came from, how it was given, and what it means for those who received it unless we look into it. And they have asked for a more formal investigation, for the staff to dig deeper, and that includes Republican and Democratic members of the current board.
And what happens if they decide not to? What happens to these allegations? Are there any other bodies that could look into this?
The elections board is the one that governs campaign finance. Now, of course, a local prosecutor, obviously, or state investigators could look into this issue, as happened in Florida, where some of these campaign contributions are part of the larger investigation through the Florida Attorney General's office and their version of our FBI down there in Florida. So certainly criminal investigators and prosecutors could look into this more if the state board decides to pass.
All right, John, thanks so much for talking with us.
No problem. Thank you.
John Franks, a political reporter with the News and Observer. Just ahead, we're going to talk about the four decades of work that photographer Paul Kaleski captured in Decatur, Georgia. We'll do that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.